to a special edition of Spotlight on Natural Resources podcast, where we shine some light on what's going on in your environment. I am your host, Amy Leffringhaus.
And I'm your co-host, Abigail Garfalo.
And today we are joined by Casey Athey. She is a specialty crops entomologist and extension specialist, as well as an assistant professor at the University of Illinois. So welcome, Casey, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Today's edition, special edition, is going to focus on the upcoming cicada emergence. So that is why we have Casey with us today. And we see it all over the news. We see it on our social media feeds. For this big double, is it called double emergence?
Yeah, I'm called that.
All right. This big double emergence of cicadas. So I guess first off, Casey, tell us a little about what cicadas are doing, their behavior, and where this emergence is going to be happening.
Yeah, so I guess a little background on periodical cicadas, which is what we're talking about, you know, this year. They emerge every 13 or 17 years. And there are actually 12 17-year broods in the United States, and there are 3 13-year broods in the United States. So you get these emergences in most years somewhere across the distribution. Periodical cicadas are coming out. Now, they don't usually geographically overlap that much. So you tend to see different areas of the country have broods at different times. They often only show up in a small area in a given year. Rarely, extremely rarely, any given set of 13 and 17-year cicadas will come out at the same time. This actually happens every 221 years for any specific set.
Oh, wow.
So
that's crazy. That's like, yeah. I feel like we've lived through enough once-in-a-lifetime things so far. This is a crazy one. Not as crazy as some of the other things we've experienced, but still a crazy one.
Yes. It really is. And you see this, again, occasionally we have 3 13-year broods and the 12 17-year broods. So for any combination, this does happen. Sure. So I should say this isn't the first time that two have come out in 221 years. It's the first time that the two we're seeing this year are coming out in 220.
Oh, okay. I understand.
That 13 and 17 year overlap for these two particular broods.
Yes.
Yeah. Happened about 221 years ago.
Exactly 221 years ago. 1803.
Oh my goodness.
Actually. And I believe it will happen again in 2245.
If I had more forethought, I would have been like, in 1803, this is what was happening at that time period. Well, you know, like some
Thomas Jefferson was president.
Well, it was right before Lewis and Clark's expedition, because didn't they start 1804 to 1806?
So the majority of what is now Illinois was indigenous folks. So there was a few of the, you know, settlers, but the majority of it was still indigenous people when these two came out together the last time.
Yeah, Illinois wasn't even a state. It became a state in 1818. So, wow, it's like that's technically never happened in Illinois proper before. That's what I'm hearing.
Correct. And it certainly hasn't happened in, you know, anyone's lifetime, because no one is 220 years old. That's why this is special. And again, we do see broods coming out together, but it's still very rare. So even if I look at the map of, you know, the next years of everything coming out, there's no overlap. Again, as you map out the next ones, the last one on the map is 2038, and there's no overlap there. And I'm sure I have not mapped it out, but I don't know when the next double is going to be, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
Eclipses and cicadas. It's a crazy spring this year.
No, 2024.
You mentioned that we're talking about periodical cicadas. What is the difference between these periodical cicadas that we're seeing this big emergence from this year and the annual cicadas?
Yeah, so there's a fair amount of difference. I think the first thing is they look different. So our annual cicadas or dog day cicadas, whatever you want to call them, are quite a bit larger than periodical cicadas. They also tend to be green or blue or kind of brown, and they don't really have much for color on any part of their wing, and they have black eyes. Periodical cicadas, on the other hand, are black. They have red eyes, and they have orange on the outside of their wings. And again, they're much smaller. And I think,
and by size comparison, if we're talking big versus small, like what could we kind of like say that is, you know?
Yes, that is a good question. And let's see, about an inch and a half probably in length for annual cicadas, and probably more like an inch long for a periodical cicada.
That's a pretty big difference for an insect.
This is only an audio medium. I was going to say I can grab my box of cicadas and show you the different sizes, but that isn't particularly useful on an audio medium.
Send us a picture. We'll put it in the blog for later.
Okay.
So that'll be great.
I can do that. And so the other, you know, huge difference, and I think this is what, well, I know this is what makes periodical cicadas special, is that every year we have some annual cicadas that come out. And when they come out, they've been in the ground for several years, depending on their species. But there's a bunch of that same species, that same group, that are still in the ground. They'll come out next year. So every member of the group doesn't pop up all at once. So even though they're long-lived as well, not as long as periodical cicadas, there's another group right behind them that's going to come out next year and next year and next year. Whereas with periodical cicadas, every single member of that brood at 13 or 17 years pops out of the ground. There's no newts left in the ground still feeding on anything. And everybody's out at once, which is why their numbers are so ridiculous.
Why is that? Is that like, what is the evolutionary advantage to coming out all at once versus in kind of like shifts?
Yeah. So, you know, the conventional sort of wisdom, I suppose, is that they come out all at once and then it overwhelms predators. So there's no way that they can all get eaten if they're all out at once. Now, if they came out in regular cycles, that made sense, like 2 years or 3 years or something like that, predators could catch up. Their life cycle could catch up. Because, you know, if you were coming out every 2 years and the periodical cicadas, let's say they're coming out every 12 years, a predator could sync up and be like, well, every 12 years, a bunch of us come out and then overwhelm the cicadas, essentially. But because cicadas are on prime numbers, 13 and 17 is very weird. Nothing can catch up. So you don't have some specialized predator that pops out the same time that the periodical cicadas come out that can really take them down. It's just anybody who's in the area that's like, oh, it's raining bugs. You know, it's kind of a buffet. But there's no way that there are enough predators to overwhelm and take out any of these broods. And so one of the questions we get often is, well, what about cicada killers? Mm-hmm. So cicada killer wasps are cicada specialists. They take cicadas back to their to feed their young on, essentially. And cicada killer wasps come out with our dog day cicadas. They come out in late June or July. And our periodical cicadas come out in late May.
Okay.
So the timing is off.
I see. Yeah, I have had that thought about cicada killers and the relationship between the two. When the periodical cicadas come out, how long, I guess, they're coming out? Did you say May?
Mid to late May through June.
Mid to late May. And they are going on and they are feeding. They are, I guess, reproducing probably. How long are they? Are they living until frost, until it gets cold? Or, you know, what are they? What's their function when they get out, when they emerge?
Yeah. So periodical cicadas live about 2 to 6 weeks. We used to actually think they didn't feed at all as adults. They would just come out, reproduce, and die. It turns out they do feed a little bit on plants as adults. So it's that pretty small window of time that they're out and alive. And their main function is to lay all the eggs they can so they get that next set that'll go underground and hang out for 13 or 17 years.
For all of our listeners, it's very common of insect adults. Their job is to, their not job is to eat. Most of them, some of them even to like insects, if, and you can correct me, Casey, if I'm wrong, like sometimes their mouth parts are even so reduced that they're kind of useless. A lot of adults, their job is just to breed and die.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's interesting, too, because we think a lot about when we think about insects, most people recognize the adult form of it because it's usually kind of showy and interesting. And in almost all cases, the adult form is the thing that's around the least. The nymphs or larvae are often much longer lived than, you know, an adult. So like in the case of the dog day cicadas, let's say that adult has been a nymph for 4 years in the ground. It comes out again 2 to 6 weeks, and that one's gone too.
So you talked about when we can expect them to emerge. So starting, mm-hmm. I guess, all over the state, starting in...
So you can expect, it's temperature dependent. So they are in the soil, and it's actually a specific number. They're 7 to 8 inches deep in the soil. When that soil temperature at that depth gets to be 64 degrees Fahrenheit, they start coming out. And so we expect in the southern part of the state, that brood to be coming out earlier than sort of in the far northern part, although not that much different, but we do expect those to come out first. And the two broods in the state this year are brood 13, the northern Illinois brood, which incidentally is a 17-year cicada, but they're brood 13. And then brood 19 is the great southern brood, and that is our 13-year cicada. And I should note, I think it's important, these cicadas are coming out in a larger geographic region than just Illinois.
Right.
The northern Illinois brood has some in Iowa and Wisconsin. The great southern brood is huge. I don't know. I looked this up and I can't remember how many states that it is across. Now, it's not going to be across every part of those states. I have some maps that kind of go with the published data about where you can expect to find them. So it's not going to be everywhere. They need to have been feeding on tree roots that have been there for 13 or 17 years. So if you are worried, oh, well, we've got this corn and soybean that's been this forever, they're not coming out there. If you have lived in a place for 13 or 17 years and you've never seen them in your yard, you won't see them this year. They don't tend to, you know, move and expand all that much. They just don't move that far from where they come out of the ground. So it's going to be a lot of them because it's two broods at once, but it is not as if the entire state is going to be so overwhelmed by cicadas that people will be wading through them everywhere. There will be areas where they'll be heavy, but it's not an apocalypse across the whole state.
Great clarification. One thing, Casey, when you say if you've never seen them in your yard or if you've never seen them in your field or whatever, what do the, I guess, larval stage or the, if I, again, correct me, nymph stage.
Nymphs.
What does that look like? What would, if you saw that in your soil, if you're working, what would you see?
So during the time that they're feeding on roots, if they're there, you won't know they're there. You would think that sort of sucking nutrients out of a tree for 17 years would cause some issues to the tree. And although there's probably some, it's not really anything that we're worried about, generally speaking. And part of that is because what they're sort of taking away is xylem. It's essentially tree water. They're just not getting, they're not pulling a lot of nutrients away from the trees. When they come out, especially if they come out in large numbers, the ground that they come out of will kind of look like when you aerate your lawn. You know, all those holes kind of look like that. And that's not really harmful. You know, again, we do that on purpose, so.
I was just going to say, great. Sounds like I have to aerate my lawn this year.
Right? And so in areas where they come out, you'll see that for sure. But any damage that they do is from their egg laying. The only thing we worry about is primarily if you are a tree fruit producer or if you're a blueberry producer, and you have baby trees, then we got to worry about making sure that the cicadas, because the egg laying will do damage to the small branches, and it can kill a very small tree. But for those people, we have insecticide and control recommendations, and that's a different subject. For a homeowner, if you have experienced them in your yard before and you happen to plant some brand new trees this year, you may want to wrap those baby trees in mesh. That's about the extent of it. But I don't want people to think every tree in your yard needs to be wrapped in mesh. Again, if you've lived there long enough and you've never seen periodical cicadas, that's not a thing you need to worry about this year. And you can listen for them because the females come out a little bit later than the males. So if you start hearing the sounds of them and seeing them in your yard, you can actually deal with it then too if you need to.
And to be clear, they're more of like as far as like humans go, beyond like the baby trees, like they're more tree saplings, I guess, if we're gonna be more scientific on this
podcast.
Yes,
we should.
But they're it's more of like a nuisance for humans too, right? Like it's like they're annoying. They don't really bite you. We're not worried about disease when it comes to like vectors and things like that.
Yeah, they don't do, I would argue they don't do any harm at all. They make a noise. And they'll be loud if you're in like a really concentrated area of them. But yeah, they don't bite. There's no disease issues. They don't do anything to humans. I have heard tell that people's dogs really like them because sometimes dogs like to eat them. And so there's that. But no, they are not a problem for people at all. And so that's not anything anyone needs to worry about. And as I've said before, I would never, ever recommend a homeowner try to spray insecticides for them. Not at all. And I'm not even sure the insecticides we have again are for commercial production. That's a very specific thing. If you are not a commercial producer, then there's no reason to even really consider insecticide use for periodical cicadas.
So are there any citizen science platforms for recording your observations about the cicada emergence? I feel like people are going to be really excited to take pictures and share on their local neighbor groups on Facebook and just feel, oh my gosh, look how crazy they are. Is there ways that we can, while we're all out collecting data and making observations, is there ways that we can contribute to learn more about the species?
There is. There's something called Cicada Safari. So it's actually cicadasafari.org. And it's run by Mount St. Joseph University in Cincinnati. And that is where the capturing of where the broods are, that's where they do it. There's an app you can download on the App Store or Google Play, and you have to take a picture, and they want to verify the records where the cicadas are coming out. And so that's what I would recommend everybody use. And I'd love it for everybody who's interested to do that. I've downloaded the app myself, so I'll be using it as well. And that's a good way for us to track them. Because I should say that there have been occasions where some of these broods have gone extinct. I think we have two that have gone extinct. And so it's important to continue to track them to make sure that they're all still where we think they're supposed to be, because there's such a large time in between. And also it gets us an accurate idea of where they're actually at. Because you'll see maps that it's the entirety of this state. And it's like, well, that's not really true. Like, they're actually in these areas instead. And so it's important for everybody to contribute if they can.
Especially given there's such a visible emergence or visible showing of nature and things that people just don't normally see. I feel like having this documentation so organizations are informed to tell, like us, can tell people about these and that, they're not something to worry about. They're more just kind of like this really chill species that just likes its moment in the sun. Having that kind of information to be able to inform people is really valuable. So that way we can tamper fear. Right. Personally, my partner's like, don't touch that. And I'm like, oh, it's a cicada. You just pick it up. It's so chill. It's actually a great way to observe insects up close, in my opinion. But other people are like, oh, no, don't touch that.
No.
So, I think that's really cool that there's ways that we're documenting it. And I highly encourage everyone listening to check out this site. Is there, they can also see other people's data, what's being submitted,
yes.
Or is it?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So they have University of Connecticut does a lot of the periodical cicada research. And so Yukon cicadas, you can look that up. And they also have the Cicada Safari, live maps up on there as well. They can be hard to see because the icon is a tiny cicada. And if you have the app, I think you can see where things are as well once you download that and make your account. And the app also has all kinds of information on it about cicadas, about the different species we'll be seeing. Incidentally, there are 7 species of periodical cicadas, and all of them will be coming out. There's 3 in the Northern Illinois brood, and there's 4 in the Great Southern brood. So we'll actually see all 7 species of periodical cicadas this year, too, which is also rare.
I did not know there were different species within the brew. Oh my, I have so many questions, but this is a quick special edition, not that kind of episode. So maybe when it's all over, we'll ask what we've learned from it all and bring you back on to talk just more in depth about this amazing species. So, or grouping of species now that we know it's just
one more thing that you can add if you'd like. I should note that periodical cicadas only exist in this part of the world. So here in this, the sort of east central United States, cicadas are everywhere. Periodical cicadas only here.
Wow.
Which is
so many questions. So many questions.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's so cool. Well, I think that answers all of our questions, and we really appreciate you being here, Casey, and allowing our listeners to learn more about periodical cicadas, we have learned, rather than annual cicadas. We will, in the show notes, include links to the cicada map that Casey mentioned, or a couple of the resources for mapping cicadas if you'd like to do that on your own. We also, University of Illinois Extension has several blog articles and other resources where you can learn more about this cicada emergence here in 2024. So again, thank you so much, Casey, for joining us. And this has been a special edition of Spotlight on Natural Resources.
University of Illinois Extension.